Live wire Operation Epic Fury Day 11. The latest news from Iran and the Middle East. By Kurt Sindelka and Oliver J.J. Lane on March 10, 2026. The military operation against Iran entered its 11th day on Tuesday. President Trump said the war is nearly complete overnight and warned Iran against trying to escalate the conflict now, but it seems Tehran hasn't got the message. Yet. Tuesday's live updates below. All updates in Eastern Time. 8:45 p.m., Russia enters the chat. Russian state media has reported that Moscow's consulate in Isfahan, Iran, was damaged during a strike on the local governor's office on March 8. Windows were shattered in the office building and residential apartments, and several employees were thrown back by the blast wave. Fortunately, there were no casualties or serious injuries, the consulate said in a statement. Kremlin spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said, "We call on the parties to the conflict to immediately end the military confrontation and return to the negotiating table." 7 p.m., Australia extends asylum to more members of Iranian soccer team. Australian Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke said on Tuesday that Canberra has granted asylum to a sixth Iranian female soccer player as well as a member of the team's staff, public broadcaster ABC reported. It came after President Donald Trump urged the Australian government to grant asylum to members of the team after they faced death threats in their homeland over refusing to sing the national anthem for the Islamist regime at a match against South Korea in Australia earlier this month. 6:30 p.m., CENTCOM releases footage of U.S. destroying Iranian mine-laying ships. The number of mine-laying ships destroyed by American forces in Iran has jumped to 16, according to U.S. Central Command. The issue of whether Iran has laid any mines in the Strait of Hormuz has become a major concern, given that the embattled regime in Tehran has threatened to attack shipments of energy passing through the critical waterway. 4:30 p.m., U.S. has destroyed 10 Iranian mine-laying ships, says Trump. U.S. President Donald Trump said that American forces have hit and completely destroyed 10 inactive mine-laying boats and/or ships in the past few hours. He said that there are more to follow. Earlier, President Trump threatened to strike Iran at a level never seen before if it has laid mines in the Strait of Hormuz, a critical waterway in terms of the transport of global energy supply. 4:20 p.m., 200 missiles fired at Israel over first 11 days. According to the Times of Israel, the Iranian regime has fired over 200 ballistic missiles at Israel since the start of the conflict on February 28. While the first day of fighting saw Iran fire around 90 missiles, the number of daily strikes has dropped significantly, falling to 60 on the second day, and an average of 20 the following 6 days. The paper reported that the IDF claims to have hit over 300 ballistic missile launchers in Iran, or around 65% of the country's total cash. 3:50 p.m., Trump warns Iran against placing mines in Strait of Hormuz. President Trump said that there will be military consequences for Iran at a level never seen before if it has placed mines in the Strait of Hormuz. If, on the other hand, they remove what may have been placed, it will be a giant step in the right direction, he said. Earlier on Tuesday, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Dan Kane said that CENTCOM has started to target Iranian mine-laying ships and mine storage facilities. 3:25 p.m., Ukraine experts en route. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Tuesday that experts in combating Iranian Shahed attack drones, which Russia has used in the Ukraine war for years, are currently being deployed to the Middle East to lend their knowledge to Gulf states under attack from Tehran. "Our team is now on its way to the Gulf region, where they can help protect lives and stabilize the situation," Zelensky said. However, the Ukraine leader said that in return for lending its expertise, Kyiv will expect financial help to build up its own air defense systems against Russia. "Ukraine has the greatest experience in the world in countering attack drones, and without our experience it will be very difficult for the Gulf region, the entire Middle East, and partners in Europe and America to build strong protection," he claimed. 3:05 p.m., 140 troops injured so far. The Pentagon has said that 140 American troops have been wounded since the start of Operation Epic Fury. However, most of the injuries sustained have been minor. Since the start of Operation Epic Fury, Approximately 140 U.S. service members have been wounded over 10 days of sustained attacks, Chief Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell said per ABC News. The vast majority of these injuries have been minor, and 108 service members have already returned to duty. 8 service members remain listed as severely injured and are receiving the highest level of medical care. Additionally, 7 U.S. service members have been killed during the first 10 days of action in the Gulf. 1:15 p.m., advanced economies mull release of oil reserves. According to CNBC, the International Energy Agency, IEA, will hold emergency talks on Tuesday to discuss potentially freeing up some of its oil reserves to alleviate the supply crunch caused by the conflict in Iran, including the Islamist regime's attacks on energy infrastructure throughout the Gulf and its threats to shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. The Paris-based Intergovernmental Group, which consists of 32 advanced economies in America, Asia, and Europe, has a collective emergency reserve of around 1.2 billion barrels of oil. 1:15 p.m., Israel announces destruction of besieged sites across Iran. The Israel Defense Forces said on Tuesday that it has intensified its attacks on the infrastructure of Iran's internal security forces and the Basij, a key paramilitary force within the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC. The IDF said that the sites targeted in strikes were key to carrying out the brutal repression during the internal protests in Iran in December to January and organizing numerous terrorist plots. 12:50 p.m., Pakistani PM backs new supreme leader of Iran. Prime Minister of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan Shehbaz Sharif offered a show of support for recently selected Iranian supreme leader Mojtaba Khamenei, who was chosen by the 88-member Assembly of Experts on Monday to become the next dictator of the country, replacing his father, who was killed in an airstrike during the initial moments of Operation Epic Fury. Prime Minister Sharif offered his congratulations to the younger Khamenei and said, "I also reiterate deepest condolences and prayers on behalf of the people of Pakistan on the martyrdom of his father, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and other family members. I am confident that the new supreme leader would guide Iran towards peace, stability and prosperity, in the years ahead. It is unclear, however, if the new Iranian leader is actually in a position to receive the warm words from the Pakistani leader," with Iranian media reporting on Monday that Mojtaba was injured during a recent airstrike. He has not made a public appearance since being selected as leader on Monday. 12:40 p.m., Tehran goes full Hammurabi. The Speaker of the Iranian puppet parliament, Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, warned on Tuesday that the regime is willing to retaliate with the same force over any attack on the nation's infrastructure. "Let the enemy know that whatever they do, we will undoubtedly respond with a proportionate and immediate retaliation. No malice will go unanswered, and today we decree the rule of a knife for an eye." Bluntly, without exception, the former military officer said. "If they initiate war on infrastructure, we will undoubtedly target their infrastructure." 11:45 a.m., half of Iranian missiles hitting Israel equipped with cluster bombs. According to the Israel Defense Forces, around 50% of ballistic missiles fired into its territory from Iran have contained cluster bomb warheads. Such warheads allow for tens or hundreds of smaller submunitions, sometimes called bomblets, to fire off in various directions upon impact, increasing the lethality of the missile. It also makes interception more difficult. The Times of Israel reported that 2 people were killed on Monday as a result of cluster bomblets at a construction site in the center of the country. Another suffered serious injuries during a similar strike on Monday at another location in central Israel, the paper reported. 11:30 a.m., French Navy at near full deployment. According to the Paris paper of record Le Figaro, the French Navy is currently deploying 19 of its 23 surface vessels, including frigates, helicopter carriers, and supply ships. This represents 83% of the French fleet, excluding submarines, the paper noted. While Le Figaro said that the deployment, unprecedented in modern French history, demonstrates the excellent readiness of the Navy, it also noted that the near-full deployment is unsustainable in the long run and means there is limited capacity to surge in specific theaters if a crisis breaks out. It comes as President Emmanuel Macron deployed France's aircraft carrier, the Charles de Gaulle, and its strike group to the Middle East in a show of force amid the Iran conflict. Macron has suggested that the French Navy may lead an international coalition to protect shipping lanes in the Strait of Hormuz, to allow for the continued flow of energy through the imperiled waterway. 10:35 a.m., Germans complain over war planning. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, who has been largely supportive of President Donald Trump during Operation Epic Fury, complained on Tuesday about a supposed lack of strategy to conclude the conflict in Iran. "There is apparently no common plan for how this war can be brought to a swift and convincing end," Merz said, according to German Daily Bild. At the same time, he called on Iran to immediately end its indiscriminate attacks on states in the region. 10:15 a.m., Larijani doubles down on threats over Hormuz. Supreme National Security Council leader Ali Larijani, one of the most powerful remaining members of the Iranian regime, said that the Strait of Hormuz will either be a path of peace and prosperity for all, or a path of failure and suffering for warmongers. Larijani said earlier that Tehran will prevent any oil passing through the waterway while the United States and Israel continue to strike Iran. President Donald Trump, for his part, has threatened to strike the regime 20 times harder if it seeks to block energy shipments passing through the strait. 9:55 a.m., Iraq looking for alternatives to Strait of Hormuz. A spokesman for the Iraqi oil ministry told AFP on Tuesday that it is currently exploring alternative routes for oil exports beyond the Strait of Hormuz. As with many other countries in the region, oil production and marketing have been severely impacted, leaving the government with no choice but to seek alternative channels for our sales, Iraqi oil ministry spokesman Sahib Bazoun said. It comes as President Trump and the remnants of the Iranian regime trade barbs over the safety of energy shipments through the critical supply chain choke point. President Trump has said that the U.S. Navy may be deployed to the strait. French President Emmanuel Macron has made similar indications of a deployment to the region to protect the global economy. 9:50 a.m., UAE shuts down largest refinery in region. The United Arab Emirates has reportedly shut down the largest oil refinery in the Middle East following a drone strike from the Islamist Iranian regime, Bloomberg reports. The Ruwais oil refinery, which can process over 900,000 barrels of oil per day, was shut down as a precautionary measure. The local government in Abu Dhabi, the UAE capital, said on Tuesday morning that a fire broke out at the facility as a result of the drone attack. No injuries have been reported at the time of this post. 8:55 a.m., U.S. targeting Iranian mine capabilities. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Dan Kane said that the U.S. military has struck over 5,000 targets in Iran, including 50 Iranian naval vessels. Ballistic missiles fired by the regime are down 90% since the start of Operation Epic Fury, he said, and one-way attack drone strikes are down by 83%. U.S. Central Command has also begun targeting Iranian mine-laying ships and mine storage facilities to prevent Tehran from deploying them in the Strait of Hormuz to slow down shipments of energy, General Kane said. 8:25 a.m., Tuesday will see most strikes on Iran. U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said that Tuesday will be the most intense day of strikes so far against the Islamist Iranian regime since Operation Epic Fury began on February 28. Saying that today will see the largest number of fighter jets and bombers deployed as well as the most strikes. "The mullahs are desperate and scrambling," Hegseth said. "Like the terrorist cowards they are, they fire missiles from schools and hospitals, deliberately targeting innocents because they know their military is being systematically degraded and annihilated. Iran's neighbors, and in some cases former allies in the Gulf, have abandoned them. Their proxies, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, are either broken, ineffective, or on the sidelines. They stand alone, and they are badly losing." 8:15 a.m., Iran says Trump's threats are empty. The head of Iran's Supreme National Security Council Ali Larijani said on Tuesday that Tehran is not afraid of President Donald Trump's empty threats after he warned that Iran will face death, fire, and fury if it attempts to top energy shipments through the Strait of Hormuz. "Those more powerful than you have tried to eliminate the Iranian nation and have not succeeded. Be careful not to be eliminated yourself," Larijani said. 7:55 a.m., war for oil. Spokesman for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, Ali Mohammad Naini said on Tuesday that the Iranian armed forces will not allow the export of a single liter of oil from the region to the hostile side and its partners until further notice. Their efforts to reduce and control oil and gas prices will be temporary and fruitless, he added. It comes as President Donald Trump has sought to alleviate the skittishness of the international energy markets on Monday by saying that the U.S. is prepared to deploy naval assets to protect shipping in the Strait of Hormuz and will offer risk insurance to ships that traverse the imperiled waterway. President Trump also issued a warning to the Iranian regime, saying that death, fire, and fury will rain upon them if they seek to stop the flow of energy through the strait. 7:40 a.m., Patriots to defend Turkey. The Turkish Ministry of Defense said on Tuesday morning that in light of recent developments in our region, NATO will be deploying a U.S.-made Patriot air defense system to the city of Malatya in eastern Turkey for the protection of the country's airspace. This comes after Iran fired two missiles at the NATO ally nation over the past week amid the U.S.-Israeli military operation against the mullahs in Tehran. Maintaining its defense and security capabilities at the highest level, our country will continue to evaluate developments in cooperation and consultation with NATO and our allies, and to strive for regional peace and stability, the Turkish MOD said. 6:55 a.m., more Allied equipment on its way. Operation Epic Fury is very much a joint enterprise between the U.S. and Israel, but a surprising factor has been how slow and reluctant America's broader network of allies have been to stand up for their friends, even passively. We reported yesterday that the British government has now walked back its vague briefing over the weekend that they could deploy an aircraft carrier to the region, and that a single air warfare destroyer planned to go remains alongside as it was apparently totally unready to deploy. Now London has declared it will indeed send a second warship, but one rolled towards a humanitarian role. The RFA Lime Bay, a landing ship with a large amount of accommodation on board, normally for embarked Royal Marines, and a hospital facility, is expected to assist with evacuations. Navy lookout notes Lime Bay is already in the Mediterranean, and has been alongside the British sovereign territory of Gibraltar since completing a maintenance period late last year. Per the report, the Ministry of Defense is so strapped for cash. The plan was to leave the large ship inactive until the new financial year in April to fix cash flow. Meanwhile, Australia says it is sending extra air-to-air missiles into theater and a Boeing airborne early warning jet in France has sent a whole carrier force, gathered together and deployed in less than the time it has taken for Britain to dispatch one destroyer. Tough times for fans of British sea power. 6:45 a.m., CENTCOM shows off more strikes. In a digest of the attacks on Iran so far, U.S. Central Command says it has struck over 5,000 targets including sinking over 50 ships, a considerable development from when we last heard of 30 sinkings late last week. In tactics familiar to NATO militaries from the Cold War, when many military assets including missile launchers were made highly mobile to escape surprise decapitation strikes, Iran has widely dispersed its network of launchers. While the U.S. and Israel have stated they've already considerably degraded Iran's launch capability, with the number of missile attacks a fraction of what they were 10 days ago, the game of whack-a-mole continues unabated. We've got fresh footage of this from CENTCOM, showing strikes on mobile launchers in what cover they could find. For earlier live wire updates from Monday, please click here.